With Jim Lambley, where commentary and opinions are not intended to be politically correct. Today's show is live from the studio, The Twister, in Gordon, Nebraska, and is broadcast in two time zones and heard in three states. This special public affairs presentation will be recorded and posted on the internet. Now here's Jim on his Free Speech Zone soapbox.
Well, thank you very much, young lady, and Twister listeners, we want to get right after it here. Last week, I had the opportunity to visit with a gentleman that I had talked with on the airwaves of The Twister some time ago, a gentleman by the name of John Darish, and I never know for sure whether I'm pronouncing your name correctly or not. John, did I get it right?
That's good enough. It's John Darish.
Darish, there we go.
Rod is also with us.
And say that again, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and Gerard Apri is also with us. He's a co-founder with National Liberty Alliance.
Well, good enough. Well, gentlemen, thank you both for joining me this morning, and welcome to the airwaves of KSDZ and KDJL Radio. John, when you and I had visited last week, it was my understanding we were going to visit a little bit this morning about the power of the county sheriff. Can you gentlemen enlighten me a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, National Liberty Alliance, which last time we were on your program, we spoke a lot about building the common law grand juries across the nation in every county, and also since then we've also started to build committees of safety, which is what our founding fathers used in order to create the nation that we have today, and the committees of safety morphed into what we know today as the committeemen. So we're reduplicating what they have done in order to take back the political process. We also just recently kicked off a campaign for constitutional sheriffs. One of the key things of saving America is education. It's all about understanding who we are as a people and understanding our inalienable rights and what liberty truly is.
Right.
And our county sheriffs are as ignorant as we are. And so we launched this campaign. We created a website called powerofthecountysheriff.org. Again, that's powerofthecountysheriff.org. And what we're planning to do is we wrote a book, a handbook, a pocket handbook for the sheriff, very specifically.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be about 128 pages, I believe. We have it in PDF. People can get a copy of that up on that website, so they can download a copy of that handbook in PDF form. And I think on that it's about 80 or 90 pages. But in any event, it's put together in a topical fashion so that information could be quickly retrieved by the sheriff or a deputy. So what we're planning to do is mail out to every sheriff in America 20 handbooks. We've got 3,134 counties, so it's about 3,100 sheriffs will be mailing out 20 handbooks to each one of those sheriffs, and of course, if they want more, they can request more, and we'll send them more. And the purpose, of course, is to educate our sheriffs. You know, if our sheriffs can receive a proper education, it would empower them to enforce the true law of the land. And sheriffs would be able to stop all unconstitutional warrants. They would be able to stop all IRS liens, thereby closing down the debtors' prisons. Sheriffs could stop all non-judicial mortgage home foreclosures, all non-judicial tax foreclosures. Millions of people across the nation over the past years that have lost their home to unconstitutional, illegal mortgage home foreclosures and also non-judicial tax foreclosures. Sheriffs also could prevent incarceration of anybody without an indictment and a trial by jury. Our county jails are filled with people who have been put in jail by a judge. They were never convicted in a court of law. They've been convicted in town courts, city courts, and so on, which don't have the power to, people don't realize this, but those courts do not have the power to fine or incarcerate. Sheriffs could stop that and refuse to take those prisoners. They could also prevent the federal SWAT teams from breaking down our doors in the middle of the night and terrorizing our families. That, again, is happening across America. And they can prevent the enforcement of all unconstitutional statutes. The sheriff would also empower the people by enforcing the Bill of Rights, and that's the key. Our rights need to be enforced and protected. That is the purpose of the sheriff, and he or she needs to understand the job that they have and what it means to take an oath.
That's something
to serve and protect the people and the Constitution, and they don't even know what the Constitution is all about. They don't understand it at all.
You know, and I would agree with that. And the thing that bothers me to no end, and I don't care which one of you gentlemen want to address this, but the thing that bothers me when someone runs for political office, when they run for county sheriff, they really don't have to have any experience. There's no test that has to be passed. If they happen to win the vote and win the election, all of a sudden they put on the badge, they put on the gun, they put on the hat, the cap, the uniform, whatever the case is. But many, many times they have no clue as to what their function in the county really is. You know, and that just bothers me. To be a county assessor in a county in Nebraska, if you will, you have to be able to pass the test. But to be a county sheriff, well, you don't have to pass any test. How come?
Well, listen, I'll address that. First of all, they have started to certify sheriffs. What you're talking about is actually a good thing.
Sure.
Because when politicians run for offices, they run it like a politician. If all the sheriffs knew the Constitution, they don't need a law enforcement education because they got guys in there that understand penal law. That's not what this is about. This is about them enforcing the Constitution, which, by the way, is mostly common sense. When you look at something and you see something going wrong, somebody being wronged, you could tell in your heart. And the Constitution shows you, you know, what powers the government has, and the Bill of Rights shows them, you know, the rights we have that where they can't infringe.
Sure.
So if you get a guy, you know, they send them over to the FBI school, and that's the beginning of their downfall because they fill their heads with all this law enforcement stuff, and now they're not the people's sheriff anymore.
Right.
See, the sheriff is the most powerful law enforcement official because he answers to the people. He's not part of a private police force like your state police are answerable only to the governor. So he's the guy that the people need to go to when their rights are being violated. So he doesn't need to be a politician. He doesn't need to be a law enforcement expert. What he needs to do is he needs to understand the place of the people and the government and how they fit together and where his authority is. And between him and, believe it or not, the coroner is the other guy that's very powerful in the county. And between the two of them, you got a local officials in your local county who know the area, who know the people. You don't need the feds coming in on a lot of this stuff because they have no idea what's going on with the nature of the businesses in the county. And really, it's meant to be run by the people, which is a symbiotic relationship between the common law grand jury. Look at, as people, when a grand jury goes in to investigate something, you don't need a degree in anything. You have everything at your fingertips. If you have questions, there's all kinds of experts out there to ask your questions. What you need is common sense, and you need the freedom to act. I mean, we started with U.S. versus Williams, where he really lays out the power of the grand jury, and that power of the grand jury is really, it's symbiotic with the sheriff, because the sheriff is the guy that's going to serve those indictments, and that's what's not going on. They've severed that connection, and so what happens is, the people are not watching the government. That's our job. That's the people's job as the grand jury. And it's the sheriff's job to enforce what the grand jury sends down as a presentment or an indictment. And today, they want to micromanage it. They want to taint the juries. You know, they want to tell them, oh, you'll only rule on the facts and not the law. That's treason. Every time a judge does that, he just committed treason.
You know,
he tainted your jury.
You know, we see that happen even in our local courthouse right here in Sheridan County. In fact, many times when the Constitution is brought up, for some reason, judges seem to forget about Article 6, Clause 2 of the Constitution, but they inform the jury and everyone in that courtroom that you will not even bring up the United States Constitution in this court of law. I don't understand that, and you got a sheriff standing right there, and they've all taken an oath to protect the Constitution, and yet the judge will say, you will not even talk about the Constitution in my courtroom. And for some reason, the county sheriff, in this county anyway, he goes along with that. I don't understand that kind of thinking, sir.
Well, one of the problems is, of course, education. As Thomas Jefferson said, if the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. And they have really made us quite ignorant, you know. It was up to the government, which really needs to go back to the people, to give us a proper education. And, of course, that proper education hasn't been around for at least probably 75 and maybe more years.
Right.
And so we, the people, have to do that. And that's what National Liberty Alliance is all about, to give the people a proper education. But not only the people, also our servants in that are in power, those people that we've elected and those who have been appointed, and particularly the sheriff himself. What people don't know, and this is really, it's going to take a little time to really get this to flow through the people, to really come to an understanding and appreciation. And it's hard for them to understand what I'm about to say, and that is that statutes are not law. We have never given the government the power or the authority to write any kind of a statute that controls the behavior of we, the people. We gave them the power to write statutes in certain situations, and you'll find that in Article 1, Section 8. We list out the I think it's 18 powers that we've given Congress and the laws that they can write concerning those powers that we've given them. And nowhere will you find that they're there to write any kind of a statute that controls the people. And that's the key. You know, when we talk about penal law or any kind of civil law, that's all unconstitutional. We're not under penal law. We're not under civil law. And again, this is hard for people to get their heads around. You know, we went down when we started our research way back on the committeemen, going back quite a few years, we went down to, up to the archives in Albany, New York, to look into the archives to see when the law had changed. And it turned out in 1909, literally, from 1909 to 1911, the laws on the books literally tripled, maybe even four or five times the amount of laws that were on the books prior to that. But the laws that were on the book prior to that were constitutional laws, the powers that we gave Congress both to our states and also to the federal government to write laws. In this case, we're talking about New York law. We've given Congress the power and the authority to write laws for certain purposes, but never to write laws to control the people. And from 1909 to 1911, literally more than three or four times the amount of laws, and all of these statutes were put in. It was just poured in. It's like it was planned for quite some time and poured in from one rewriting or iterating the law and adding the new laws in that three-year period from 9, or actually 9 to 11, two-year period, from 9 to 11. Now, what sheriffs need to understand and the people need to understand is that all of these courts that they've been going to, the town courts, the city courts, the village courts, where most of the people are convicted and put into jail for all kinds of statutes, code violations, and whatever else you want to call them, and they go to jail. They've never been indicted. They never got a trial by jury, and they'll go to jail for a year or whatever it is they send. And the Supreme Court has ruled over and over and over again that this is what's called, these courts are administrative courts. They're referred to as nisi prius courts. They do not have the power to fine or incarcerate. And people don't know that.
And of course,
the judges don't even know that.
How does the public fight back against something like this?
Well, reality is the way one perceives it. That's a fact. If you perceive that they got the power and the authority, then they're going to have it, they're going to take it. When we started fighting in courts, we went to courts understanding the true law, and we held tight onto the true law of the land. So we got quite a few cases that we've won, gotten through the courts, mostly by being thrown out, because some of them are criminal cases or cases where people, you know, could go to jail or be fined heavily or whatever. But these cases often were thrown out because we stood our ground and called the law that they're trying to apply upon us what it is, a fraud. We go into federal court. We're looking to come into what's called an Article 3 court, which is supposed to be obedient to the law of the land. And you have to press those issues. Look, the people have to be educated, and we have to nullify all of this stuff that they've put upon us. And nullification is denying it, rejecting, refusing, and calling it for what it is, a fraud. And once you get to that position of educating the people, that's when things are going to change. Until then, it's never going to change.
Okay.
Please understand that.
So, I mean, obviously we're attempting to educate the public here this morning in our listening area, but how do we educate the public on a national level here to where we overcome this tyranny?
Well, again, it's word of mouth, grassroots movements. Look at National Liberty Alliance. We've got over 6,000 members. We've got tens of thousands of people that visit us, but we've got over 6,000. We're approaching 7,000. I think we're at 6,500 at this point. We have a large leadership. We have a presence in every state of the union. We have 1,009 people who have signed up to become grand jury administrators. We need a total of 12,000 to take control of the entire judiciary, both on the state and federal level. So we need 12,000 people. We've got 1,009 at this point in time. We're organizing across the nation. We've got 1,300-plus county organizers. We've got state coordinators. We have 112 federal district leaders, and we have 12 national leaders. So we've already created the necessary we created a website to give the information to the people. The purpose of National Liberty Alliance is to facilitate an education, a place where people can communicate and organize. And so we've created the necessary network across the nation in every single state. We have, I believe it's about 113 committees of safety at this point in time. But we need 3,000 committees of safety.
Right.
We're also, again, working on this project to educate the sheriffs, and then we're connecting the sheriffs to the committees of safety in their counties, and which they will give each other support and work through, the local government. You got your town governments, the village, the city, the county, and even the state. But on a local level, we need to connect.
By the way, every signer of the declaration was on a committee of safety, and if people don't know what that is, they need to research it. Because it's the people assembling outside of the normal government, because they could not assemble under the government because the government was adversarial, and that's what we have today.
Well,
the people have to assemble in order to fight that. Yeah.
We know, gentlemen.
I just came here, so I got to go. I'll be right back, Gerard. Keep on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we noticed even here in Sheridan County, there was an attempt at putting together a common law grand jury. But the courthouse in our local county, they wouldn't allow the common law grand jury to even walk in the door and sit down and use one of their rooms. They were doing everything they could to stymie it.
Well, because they feel like they're losing control. They want to micromanage it as we talk, and they want to taint them, and so they need to run the process. If you read U.S. versus Williams, it gives you the authority that the people have to assemble and do that, and it says at arm's length from the court. It says you cannot tell them how they will come together or operate, and it's very, it's scary to them because they're used to control. And, as we're saying to educate the people what's going on, is they're educating officials in the wrong way. Like John says, these easy pre-escorts, what that means unless objected to.
Uh-huh.
So if you go in there and you plead and you understand and you don't understand and you put their authority, you're contracting under their authority. When they say, do you understand what it means, do you stand under our authority? And the reason those judges are telling them not to mention the Constitution is because if they're violating a constitutional right and you bring it up, he loses jurisdiction because he can't rule on that. That needs to go to the federal court. They don't want to have that because they're making their money on the local level, mostly plea bargaining.
Right.
And the other measuring stick on a lot of this stuff is very easy. So you need common sense. When they're incarcerating somebody or coming after somebody, just ask yourself, who's the injured party? And it can't be the state. If there's no injured party, that's a victimless crime. That's what John's talking about. We never gave the government authority to put us under these statutes that control our behavior. If you can't identify an injured party, look at if a guy wants to use a certain chemical or plant or whatever in his body, government has nothing to say about that. Look at, you could say don't give it to a minor. Look at, we have laws on alcohol. You can't drink unless you're 21 or 18, depending on where you are.
Right.
That's the injured party if you're corrupting the morals of a minor. But look at adults. We don't need a daddy government telling us what to do. We're supposed to be telling the government what we want them to do.
I would agree with that. Let me ask you another question, and I hope I'm not messing up our interview here. But when I look at the grand jury indictment that came down in the Bundy case, when Mr. Love with the BLM, and he actually lied to the grand jury, and of course that is being proven in court as we go along here. What does the grand jury, what is their position when they find out that they have been lied to? And they put an indictment down against good people that didn't do anything wrong.
I don't know what the official procedure is. I think they could reassemble, and they could and they could actually probably go in with an indictment against the prosecutor.
Right.
For that. That's what I would think, you know. Right. And that would negate the original thing, you know. Look, they held back exculpatory evidence. You can't blame the grand jury. As tainted as they have them, we still get good grand jury and jury decisions because they still pick them basically from we the people. I think they asked them too many personal questions in their, you know, you ever hear the saying, he can indict a ham sandwich, because what they do is they make sure that they get a jury or a grand jury that they can sway their way, and they'll make sure that nobody's sitting on there that has a knowledge in a different way than what they want the indictment to go. You know what I mean?
Sure, so, I understand.
And the grand jury is just to see if there's enough evidence that a crime is committed. You know, and a lot of times, a lot of things should be stopped at that level. But it's very loose as far as they don't determine innocent or guilt or anything like that. Just to see what has been claimed to be violated. And, you know, anything about he said, you know, that's the Pettit jury. That's for the people, the local people, basically, to do the facts of the indictment, you know, supposed sure. crime. But the grand jury is the first stopgap to see if it even goes to court. And a lot of times it should never even go to court.
Right.
That's, you know, and they want to control that because there's a lot of money there. There's a lot of money, and this whole thing is you got to follow the money. It's a money making deal, and so that's what it's about. And they basically are training. They're training the judges and the police officers and stuff. They to do this language, and it's contract. They even tell the state police, when you walk up to that car, you're contracting with the people. So that's why there's all these videos, never talk to the police, because anything you say, they can and will use against you, and they do, and it might not even have anything to do with the original thing that they pulled you over for, but they're going to trap you into this web and bring you in, and it's all about making money on these statutes, which basically the way they're enforcing them are unconstitutional. You know, I mean, I know people have a hard time today dealing with freedom. They've been taught to be afraid. They've been taught that they need somebody to tell them what to do. You know, look, at statutes are for government officials. When you make a speed limit and you say, we only want you going 30 miles an hour, those are for people that are driving our cars under our insurance under the government. Look, at you and I don't need to be told to go 30 miles an hour because we do what any normal person would do, which would be going a prudent speed.
Right.
So if we're being imprudent and somebody makes a complaint, oh, he ran me off the road, oh, he did this, he did that, now there's an injured party. Now you can pursue it. But as far as sitting there and getting you for going 4 miles over the speed limit, look, at when the king went out with his Ferrari, he went on an open road and he did 160 miles an hour and there was nobody on the road, there was no police officer going to pull the king over and say, look, at you went too fast, we're going to throw you in jail and we're going to fine you. Right? No, because he was the king. He was sovereign. Now, if the king goes driving on the sidewalk, running people over and killing babies, guess what? You have Magna Carta. They take the axe. They say, listen, you're only king as long as you're in good behavior. Your powers come from God and ministered through we the people. And you see, that's what they don't understand. You know, they have this idea that they're in control and they're to tell us what to do. People got to grow up. You know, liberty takes maturity and responsibility. You know, in the long run, it's easier, but in the beginning, look, you got to be the master of your kingdom. And when somebody steps in your kingdom, you got to know how to defend it. So, you know, if there's an injured party, then there's a crime, and then you could pursue it.
Sure.
So, you know, that's why, you know, this power of the county sheriff is because the sheriffs are the law enforcement official that are most connected to the people, that answer to the people, because they depend on the people to be in that office. And look, they can get all their police education in there, or they can appoint somebody under them that understands that process and procedure under the penal law. But they need a guy that's there who understands the Constitution to put the brakes on them, because all this code and statutes can get out of hand. And it does. We see that it does. And that's why, at this point, I think the people are pretty fed up. I think the timing is right. You know, look, we elected Donald Trump because he wasn't a politician, because he talked in a way that resonated with the people in the street. And that's what's happened in Washington and in our states and our legislators. They've lost touch with the people. They got a pie-in-the-sky attitude, and they've lost touch with reality, with the man in the street that's working every day and has to put up with this stuff.
Right. And so, for listeners out there that want to educate themselves, and I hope that all of you listeners want to educate yourself, obviously you can go, there's a couple of different websites that you can go here and learn a lot more. And I don't know whether you're prepared to answer this question or not, but for people in the state of Nebraska, for South Dakota listeners, for our Wyoming listeners, I am curious, is there, I mean, obviously National Liberty Alliance has, according to John, has, you know, tentacles in every state in the union. Where do our listeners go to touch base, learn more, to become a part of this, to be able to fight the system, so to speak?
Well, right now I would direct them to the two main sites, which is National Liberty Alliance, spelled out, .org.
Uh-huh.
And in nationalliberty.org, when you go in there, you can go in and look up your state and click on it, look up the guy who's in the head of the state and who's in the county.
Sure.
That you can contact in order to start doing some stuff and getting. We used to use Meetup, you know, but right now we're running stuff through our site. It's easier to get in there and make a phone call and hit an actual person and then find out what's going on and who's next to you. In some of the sparser states and counties, if they're close, they do things together. Like if you got what they call like a tri-county area or whatever.
Right.
It's smarter in the beginning to work together. You know what I mean? So, we encourage that. So when you go in there, you look up your state, you look up your county, there's names and phone numbers to call. And the other one is the power of the county sheriff .org or .com. We have them all. You can put them in. And that there will show you, you know, that's where you have just built, what we're doing is people are joining. We want sheriffs to join, and that one's growing as we speak. And that kind of connects to our site, too, so you can look up your state and your county and find out what's going on there. And we talk about, you know, the sheriff and the committees of safety and those type of things. And look, we have so much information. We have a free constitutional course that you can take. We have a civics course which you should have got in school all through grade school and high school that they're not teaching.
Yeah, they quit that about 50 years ago.
Take those courses.
Yeah, they quit that civics thing about 50 years ago, and it's ridiculous.
That's right.
Well, I am delighted with the information that you're sharing with the listeners here this morning. I'll be honest with you and give those websites one more time. And listeners, please write these websites down and then go spend some time wandering around them and educate yourself. And as questions come up, obviously there are people with the National Liberty Alliance that can help get you the answers you're looking for. But here are those websites again.
Yeah, you have powerofthecountysheriff.org or .com, and you have nationallibertyalliance.org, and that's spelled out, you know, A-L-L-I-A-N-C-E, nationallibertyalliance.org. And go in and look up your county, look up for your county organizer, and some counties don't have an organizer. Then you look and go into the state and talk to the state guy and find out who's in your area. So it's very easy. It's all there on the top, you know, toolbar and the drop down, and navigate through. And we have lots and lots of resource material. We also have all the cases that we've written that we've put in the federal court that you can take these things and you can just reading them is an education. The footnotes are, you know, a whole world that you didn't even know existed, because it's all based on the Constitution and common law. And you can take those cases and you can teach yourself what the law is, which we should know. Look at the average high school student should be able to leave high school and navigate a court system. They used to teach them you know, what a summons was, what an indictment was. The kids today have no idea, and they're coming in contact with this force, and they have no idea what their rights are, what the procedures are, and unfortunately, this is why we have what we have.
Right.
Because of the education thing.
Well, and I would agree with that 100%. And it's not just our high schoolers. It's many adults, too, including myself. I'll be honest with you. You know, we're all so busy trying to make a living, to get to work, to feed our families, on and on and on. And then you put in all the gadgetry we play with and all of the distractions there are. And the public, when it comes right down to it, I hate to say this, but they aren't too bright.
Right. Right. Well, you know, it's by design.
Yes,
you
know, it, yes, by design. It is. You know, we're running out of time here, but we're running out of time here this morning. But I want to thank you so very, very kindly, and I hope that we can do this again fairly soon. I'll be honest with you. This is good information for my listeners, and I appreciate it.
Yes, well, we'd be glad to do it, and there's always new stuff coming out, you know, so we should update on the latest stuff. It's an exciting time right now. You know, the exciting thing is you got a president that's willing to do something, and he's looking for the people to support him.
Absolutely.
So by joining these groups like National Liberty Alliance and that, he gauges what he's how successful he's going to be by the people that are supporting him. Look, you can't send an official up the hill with his sword out and nobody's behind him. And that's our job, is to get behind these officials, these whistleblowers, these public officials, who are finally coming out of the woodwork because they feel like the time is right. So it's time to jump on the bandwagon, people. We've never had a time like now. It's time to get up and do something, because if you don't, and we don't take this opportunity right now, we're going to be lost. That's all there is to it. Because it's so deep and so pervasive, it's scary in a certain sense. But only the people can do it. It's up to us. It's not up to somebody else. It's up to us.
And listeners, so
thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And listeners, I encourage you, when the program is over with here in a matter of minutes, before noontime today, this program, we're streaming it right now, but it will be posted on the internet at twisterradio.com, and you click on the free speech zone, and that'll take you to the next page, and you know how that process works. But you click on it and pass this information on to your friends and neighbors and encourage them to listen to this. In fact, you might want to listen to it a couple of different times, because there has been some excellent, I say excellent, information that has been passed on to you this morning. It's the beginning of education for all of us. And again, I thank you folks at the National Liberty Alliance so very kindly for spending a little time with us this morning, and I'm sorry that we're out of time. I'd like to continue on, but my program log doesn't allow for it, but we'll set the table here, and we will visit again, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. I look forward to it.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome, and thank you.
Okay.
Twister listeners, thank you so much for joining us for this special edition of the Free Speech Zone on KSDZ and KDJL Radio, where we provide you fact and information along with opinions for you to consider as you go about your day today. It's 12 minutes before the top of the hour, Twister listeners, and as I mentioned before, I'm a little bit behind here this morning, so we're going to play catch-up here as much as we can this hour, and what we don't get caught up this hour, we'll make up next hour, so stay with us.